Now, I've been holding on to something big, something really big, for a while, and I wasn't sure if it was right, the right time or not. You know, I keep debating, going back and forth, but I trust you. I guess it's okay. All right. Now, don't laugh. You're gonna laugh, but don't laugh. Let me show you what I have. Well, bam! How about that? All right. I know. This, my friends, is the magic hat of mystery and magic. Let me tell you the story. I was working at a church many years ago, and this mysterious old man stopped in during the week. You never know who's going to pop into a church office during the week. And he said, "I have something for you," and he handed this to me, and I started laughing. He went, "Don't laugh." He said, "This is the magic hat of mystery and magic." He said, "Someday you'll find a church that you love, and when you do, present them with this hat. And one among them, one and only one, will be able to wear the magic hat of mystery and magic." And I said to the mysterious old man, why on earth would I do this? What possible point? He said, "Because the one who wears this hat will receive 3 wishes granted." Now, okay, I did the same thing that you did. You know, every time you hear a story about, you know, somebody comes to you and they're going to give you wishes, you know, the first thing that some smart alecky person says is, what's the first wish you wish for? More wishes. Infinite wishes. Boom. Done. Got it. No. The wise old man said, no. The magic hat of mystery and magic doesn't work like that. No more wishes. You only get 3. So your second question, because you are thoughtful, skeptical people, are, well, if this is a magic hat of mystery and magic, why doesn't Patrick just put it on and get 3 wishes? Well, I mean, I have my intelligent, smart, incredibly beautiful wife. Oh, you are here. Hey there, look at that. Hey, Sarah, happy Mother's Day. So I already have her, Piper, and you guys. What else could I need, right? So what I want is one of you we'll get to wear the magic hat of mystery and magic. But the question is, if it's you, what are your 3 wishes going to be? Only 3. You don't get, I wish for more wishes. You don't get that. What 3 things, if you could wish for them, what 3 things like that would you want? See, we ask that question because when we say, what 3 things do we want, it leads to a deeper question, which is, what kind of stuff in general do I want? What's the stuff that if I could get it, I really want it? Which then leads to an even deeper question, what are the priorities? What are the most important things in my life? Because you assume that the priorities are the things you want, which are the things that you wish for. Which then leads to what are the priorities, to the deeper question, how am I building up my life? And here's what I mean by that. Because if I were to ask you, you know, what kind of wishes would you want, you could probably rattle that off. But if I were to ask you this question over here, what are the foundational primary building blocks that you are building your life off of? Some of you may be able to say them, but most of you would be like, God, you know, revert back to that Sunday school kind of Jesus, you know, that we don't think about that kind of stuff. But what if we took time and thought about it? Because the building blocks, those things that we are laying the foundation of our life on, are critically important. It affects and influences everything else that we do. And in order to make good decisions with those building blocks over there, we need to understand and embrace wisdom. See, wisdom is more than just book smarts. It's not just understanding how a car is put together. Wisdom is knowing the right and wrong way to use the car. It's applied knowledge. Wisdom is taking what you and others have learned and causing that to inform the future decisions that you make in your life. Last week, we started a new sermon series on the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms worked in ancient Israel very much like our hymn book worked. That even though we don't have the music anymore, that these poems that we read in the book of Psalms are the songs that ancient Israelites would have used when they worshiped. We talked last week about one of the big categories of praise, that above everything else, we put God first and praise. But this week, we're looking at another category, and that category is wisdom. There were songs that they sang that gave clues and pointers as to how best to find wisdom in the world. If you would you turn with me to today's text in Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. We're going to read 37, 1 through 9. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Would you pray? God, may these ancient words be new and fresh and living in our hearts today. Help us to hear your Spirit move in us. In Christ's name, amen. So look again at verse 4. Some of you have probably seen this. It may be monogrammed on a pillow or something. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, when I was little, here's how I read this. If you check the right boxes and do the right things, then God will give you the stuff that you want. Here's my shopping list, God. Go at it. But that, to me, isn't what God is going for. And that's, I think most of us would probably hopefully agree, that's not wisdom. See, the wisdom we find here is this understanding that the most important building block of these building blocks we have over here is God. That if we put God first, then the other stuff will have an easier chance to fall into place. Okay, this isn't breaking news. Most of you got this. But we start with this understanding that we put God first, and the rest of it falls into place. Well, here's the other thing that doesn't happen in this verse, because it does not say, do the 10 things that God requires of you, and then you'll be set to go forever. It doesn't say, if you make sure that you pray the right prayer and say the right thing and dress up the right way and go to the right place, then you're going to be good to go. The word it uses is delight, which, if you go back and study the ancient Hebrew and look up the word in Hebrew means delight. So this is pretty much it. It's delight in the Lord. Now, most people, when they think about duty and think about the things they are supposed to do for God, they think of it more like the tax code than something that they love. That if I make sure I fill out the right forms, then I'm good to go, and I better double and triple check. In fact, it's probably good if I go to a professional to make sure I got this right. I don't hear very many people, now some of you twisted individuals may, but I don't hear very many of you say, you know what I love more than anything else? You know what I delight in? That big, big, big book of the U.S. tax code. If I could just, that's just pleasure reading for me. You know, I can't get enough of that. No. The tax code is something that you have to do. It's a duty that you have to do and have to get done with because the punishments are so much that your incentive is to get it done. However, if you think, if we use that kind of terminology when we talk about Mother's Day's here, I guess I have to go get stuff. Here you go. Happy Mother's Day. Here's your flower. Is that delighting in Mother's Day? No. The idea is you don't delight in tax code. You delight in relationships. You delight when you're holding your brand new grandbaby. You delight when she says yes to the proposal. You delight when you get to spend another year together. You delight when the tests come back negative. You delight in relationships. You delight. Now, you can find pleasure in things, but you find delight in relationships. Part of what the psalmist is getting at, and part of what we are called to get here, is this big distinction. For a lot of people, God is this thing you do in this box you check, and if I get it, then I'm good. But what the psalmist is saying is delight in the Lord, and he will give you the pleasures of your heart. The desires of your heart. I knew that was wrong. Give you the desires of your heart. And here's what's happened. See, when you anchor yourself in God and you say, God, I'm going to put you first. God, I'm going to choose to follow you. God, I'm going to choose to build up my relationship with you. Here's the thing that happens, is without you knowing it, God winds up changing the desires of your heart. Because how on earth can God give me the desires? Well, the desires you have right now may not be what God wants to fill. But the more and the more and the more time you spend with God, the more you build up that relationship and delight in God, the more you are going to find that your heart, the things you care about are transformed. Suddenly, buying that new expensive car isn't as important as helping that family that doesn't have enough to eat. Suddenly, it's not as big a deal that I get that promotion so everybody can see me. It's a much bigger deal that I serve in that way, even if nobody notices. What God's calling us to, and what God says the most foundational block is God himself. But it's not just something that you stick there and you check off and you're done. What God desires and what true wisdom is understanding that it's only in relationship that you find the true nature and transforming power of God. It's not a once a year thing. It's not a once a week thing. It's an everyday thing. Experience. Good and bad, day in, day out, that you find. Now, is every moment going to be, tap dancing full of delight? No. But there are moments and there are times in motherhood, in parenthood, in relationships, where you are frustrated with the other person, but deep in your heart, you find delight. What God is saying, the true wisdom comes from is understanding that when you anchor yourself in God and you make your goal to build up your relationship and delight in God, then all the other pieces will fall into place more easily. That if your center foundational stone is something else, then you're going to wind up in trouble. But what God desires more than anything else, if you had only one wish from your magic hat of mystery and magic, would your wish be that you would be as close and as connected to God as you possibly could? Because everything else doesn't matter. Everything else is secondary. And understanding that God comes first, that's the beginning of. Would you pray? God, God, we give thanks. We give thanks for your instruction and your guidance, for these psalms that help remind us of the truth that you need to be center and foremost in our hearts and in our lives. God, we confess there are times that we run after other stuff that doesn't fulfill. So God, we pray, change us and shape our hearts. Help us to put you at center. And God, through everything that we say and we think and we do, may we reflect the love of Christ Jesus. Help us delight in you because your great love delights in us. God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.